studio time is 6 o'clock.
This is WBEN Radio News, including the world tonight and today in business. This portion brought to you by Glenn Campbell Chevrolet in Williamsville. I'm Lou Douglas. A candidate for mayor of North Tonawanda in the primary 4 weeks from today was found dead of natural causes at his home this afternoon. Funeral arrangements were being made for 55-year-old Stanley Turecki of Lindsay Street, a longtime North Tonawanda tavern operator and political figure. Mr. Turecki, former president of the council, had been waging a primary battle against the incumbent Democratic mayor, Edward Rioter. Livingston County Judge Joseph Montesano is dead. The jurist was 62 years old. He resided in Mount Morris. 10 persons indicted by a federal grand jury investigating organized crime appeared in Buffalo Federal Court today. Reputed kingpin Russell Buffalino and 9 others entered not guilty pleas. 2 employees of the Hooker Chemical Plant in Niagara Falls were admitted to Memorial Medical Center late this afternoon after they were overcome by gas at the plant. Jimmy Thompson has details.
Under treatment are 49-year-old William Nalbone of 1010 Upper Mountain Road, Lewiston, and 34-year-old Samuel Hamilton of 6 Creek Court. A Hooker Company spokesman said the pair were found overcome by fellow employees at the Buffalo Avenue plant, and he said they were repairing a pipe leak in an absorber unit in an area where fire retardant chemicals are manufactured. Jimmy Thompson in Niagara Falls for WBEN Radio News.
Stop looking because they're here at Glenn Campbell Chevrolet, their brand new Chevy trucks. A large shipment of Chevy trucks has rolled into Glenn Campbell Chevrolet. 1/2 and 3/4 ton pickups, love trucks, suburban carryalls. See them all at Glenn Campbell. And Glenn Campbell has the selection. Your choice of colors, engines, transmissions in stock and available for immediate delivery during the special purchase truck sale. For trucks, it's Glenn Campbell Chevrolet, 5110 Main Street, Williamsville.
The City of Buffalo Law Department has given 9 former city employees identified in grand jury indictments as no-shows until Friday to repay their salaries to the city treasury. The city is expecting $72,727.27, or it will institute court action. The 9 men in question were seasonal laborers with the Street Sanitation Department. 4 defendants in the federal bribery case against the Jamestown-based automatic voting machine company entered not guilty pleas in Buffalo Federal Court today. Each of the defendants was continued free on bail pending further court action. A good note was sounded today for the economy of Jamestown following a series of announced plant closings and cutbacks. Vic Baker has the story.
What originally looked like more bad news for Jamestown turned around today when the Dahlstrom Corporation of Texas announced its Jamestown division had been sold to local investors. The price was not announced. Former executive vice president of the Dahlstrom Jamestown division, H.C. Bolton, is the new president of the company, which will continue to produce the same precision fabricated and rolled metal products. New company president Bolton said the new Jamestown company will continue to occupy the Jamestown plant, employing about 300 persons. The new name of the Dahlstrom Corporation Jamestown division will be Dahlstrom Manufacturing Incorporated of Jamestown and is now privately owned by Jamestown investors. This is Vic Baker for WBEN News.
Buffalo police suspect that there may be 1 or 2 bodies in a car resting on the bottom of the Niagara River at the foot of West Ferry Street. Divers resume the search in what they call a stolen car dumping area. So far, 5 cars have been located on the river bottom. Those are the area's top local and regional stories. Now to CBS for the World Tonight.
This is the World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. President Nixon denied again today that he knew about the Watergate bugging and burglary before it happened, and he denied again that he's been engaged in any cover-up. Robert Pierpoint has the story from the president's retreat in Florida.
Both his press secretary, Ronald Ziegler, and his new chief of staff, General Alexander Haig, were with the president, but the statement was actually issued to reporters by Deputy Press Secretary Gerald Warren. The text reads as follows. Any suggestion that the president was aware of the Watergate operation is untrue. Any suggestion that the president participated in any cover-up activities is untrue. Any suggestion that the president ever authorized the offering of clemency to anyone in this case is also false. That's the end of the statement. It is so carefully written that it might have been prepared by a lawyer, although the only lawyer present at this morning's meeting was Mr. Nixon himself. Today's statement failed to include a denial that the president had any knowledge of a Watergate cover-up, although his participation is denied. Spokesman Warren declined to comment on any other phases of the Watergate scandal. Warren reminded reporters that Justice Department lawyers have warned that such comments could prejudice the rights of innocent individuals. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, with the presidential party in Florida.
It was announced today that the Washington Post has won the Pulitzer Prize for its investigative reporting on the Watergate scandal. We'll have more news after this message.
A professor of psychology revealing the complexities of man's behavior. A student drinking in this knowledge and expanding her world. An attorney guiding a client through legal tangles. What do these people have in common? They were all born with cerebral palsy. And the professor, the student, the attorney, and the messenger, and the clerk as well, have all proven one important thing. They're functioning in spite of their handicaps. When you're born with the brain damage that results in the condition we call cerebral palsy, it takes a lot of determination and courage to surmount that handicap. But that's not all it takes. United Cerebral Palsy is an agency that helps, but not without you. This is Richard Kiley. A lot of people with cerebral palsy will make a better life for themselves because when United Cerebral Palsy asked, you were there.
It isn't official yet, but apparently the Justice Department has decided that John Dean, the former White House counsel, isn't going to get the immunity that he wanted in order to tell all he knows about Watergate. Daniel Shore reports.
Justice Department sources say that after almost 3 weeks of negotiation, the Watergate prosecution has decided to refuse immunity to former presidential counsel John Dean and is expected to call him before the grand jury this week. In interviews with prosecutor Earl Silbert, it's understood, Dean said he has information that would implicate H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman and perhaps the president himself, but has refused to give details without assurance of immunity. In the negotiations conducted by lawyer Charles Schaffer, it's understood the prosecutor was told that Dean has an obsessive fear of going to prison because his boyish appearance might make him a target for molestation. But Silbert's understood to feel that Dean is too central a figure in the planning and cover-up of the Watergate conspiracy to be granted immunity. The government also believes it has sufficient evidence from Jeb Magruder and others to proceed against Dean even if he takes the Fifth Amendment. Silbert is reported taking the position that a more effective way of getting cooperation than immunity is to seek conviction first and then bargain for a shorter sentence. Daniel Shore, CBS News, Washington.
Elliot Richardson announced today that once he's confirmed as Attorney General, he'll appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the Watergate scandal instead of doing it himself. Richardson said the prosecutor will have to meet stringent standards.
He must not only be an individual of the highest character and integrity, but be widely so recognized. He must not have been associated with any of the persons alleged or suspected to have had a part in the matters under investigation. He must be judicious in temperament and independent in spirit. He must have a proven record of outstanding competence as a lawyer, preferably including trial experience.
Richardson said that once he's chosen the special Watergate prosecutor, he'll ask the Senate Judiciary Committee to hold a public hearing on the suitability of his choice. There were more revelations today in the Pentagon Papers trial, and once again, they involved a key figure in the Watergate scandal. Fred Graham reports.
Another former White House aide has been accused of skullduggery in the Pentagon Papers trial, which is earning its nickname Watergate West. Charles Colson, until recently a power in the White House, was said to have instructed convicted Watergate conspirator Howard Hunt to forge State Department telegrams in an effort to embarrass the administration of the late John F. Kennedy. Hunt said in grand jury testimony released here that he forged cables saddling Kennedy with participation in the assassination of former Premier Ngo Dinh Diem of South Vietnam. But Hunt said when he and Colson tried to leak the phony cables to Life magazine, Life wouldn't bite and the forgery plot collapsed. Egil Krogh, another former White House aide, said in a sworn statement today that Colson arranged the payment of $2,000 to the Cubans who burglarized Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office. Fred Graham, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Colson has denied that he ordered Hunt to do anything and says it might have been a misunderstanding. The World Tonight continues in a moment.
Only the top man at the White House has not yet been engulfed by the tidal wave of Watergate. And this week, Newsweek magazine reveals how secret testimony given to the investigators is bringing the scandal ever closer to the Oval Office. In an exclusive Newsweek feature, some prominent Americans of both political parties express their candid opinions on what the president should do immediately. Can President Nixon stay afloat? A report on the ever-rising floods of Watergate in Newsweek and nowhere else.
The fragile ceasefire exploded in Lebanon today with more fighting between the army and the Palestinian guerrillas, and the government declared a state of emergency. Michael O'Sullivan reports on the fighting.
Fighting has again broken out in Beirut. From the balcony of my apartment, which is near to a Palestinian refugee camp area, I can hear the sounds of automatic rifle and machine gun fire, and occasionally the thump of a mortar exploding. The sky to the south of the city is lit up by a flare. From time to time, tracer bullets race across the sky, a red streak against the black of night. This latest outbreak came shortly after an announcement by one of the leading mediators, Syria's foreign minister, that the crisis was over. But it seems that the hopes of the people of Beirut for some peace and quiet have now been disappointed. Michael O'Sullivan, CBS News, Beirut.
The Wall Street Report in 1 minute.
It's fun to be riding along, singing the hubby song. Hubby's the bike for you. It's the bike for the good times, too. Riding out with your friends, hoping the day never ends, bringing a smile or two, watching the sunshine through on Huffy, the bicycle built for you. Hey, we're happy, and Huffy brought us here. Hey, we're happy, here comes the hill, let's shift gears. There's so many places to see, and biking is the way for me. It's such a fun thing to do, and the world breathes a little bit easier too when you're riding out with your friends, hoping the day never ends on the Huffy, the bicycle built for you.
Huffy, built to take you where you want to go in today's style. Bicycles and bike accessories by Huffy.
Stocks lower, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 950, down more than 3 points. Average price per share down 18 cents on the New York Exchange, down 0.03 on the price change index on the American. And that's the financial side of the World Tonight. The Mexican government met the first demand of the terrorists, despite a warning from the State Department, but the fate of Terrence Lenhardy remained a mystery throughout the day in Guadalajara, Mexico. George Natanson has a report.
The U.S. Consul General was kidnapped by terrorists 3 days ago tonight. It looked as though his release would be easily arranged when the Mexican government acceded to all the kidnappers' demands. 30 Mexican political prisoners were released from jail and hastened on their way to Havana, Cuba, where they were converted into political exiles. It was also demanded that a revolutionary communique prepared by the terrorists be printed on the front pages of all major Mexican newspapers. This was done. Yesterday at 4 p.m., the Mexican government confidently awaited Terrence Leonhardi's release. 24 hours later, this has not yet happened. The revolutionaries backed down on their word. There is some indication that having won their objective so easily, they have now presented new demands. According to unconfirmed reports, this might mean the payment of ransom money running into the many thousands of dollars. No official word has been forthcoming here during the past 24 hours, but authorities, both Mexican and U.S., have expressed deep concern for the life of the U.S. diplomat. George Nathanson for CBS News in Guadalajara.
The State of Israel marked its 25th anniversary today with a massive military parade through the heart of Jerusalem. Tom Fenton was there for CBS News.
25 years ago, Arab armies were threatening to push the Jews into the sea. The Jewish sector of Jerusalem was a beleaguered outpost under siege in the midst of hostile Arab territory. Today, it's a triumphant Jewish army marching through a unified Jerusalem, the capital of a Jewish state that has become the dominant military power in the Middle East. The huge military parade is a defiant gesture. The United Nations Security Council had pressed Israel to cancel the parade. Outraged Arab nations have called it a sacrilege in the Holy City. The fact that the parade has gone off as scheduled and that neither the United Nations nor the Arabs could do anything about it is a measure of how secure Israel has become and of how much the first quarter century of its existence has transformed the traditional image of the passive Jew. Jets roaring over the Mount of Olives, Jewish tanks rumbling through the ancient city over roads once used by Roman legions, are a reminder that Israel, on its 25th anniversary, still owes its existence to its instant capacity to go to war. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Jerusalem.
John Connally, just about the newest Republican of all, was summoned to Florida today to confer with President Nixon. There are reports that he's being offered a high administration post, maybe Secretary of Defense. The World Tonight continues after this message.
I want to watch the sun come up another 50 years. I want to write a novel that will bring the world to tears. And I want to see Venice. I want to see my kids have kids. I want to see them free. I want to live my only life. I want the most of me. I want to dance. I want to love. I want to breathe.
Yesterday, Janie died on an endless road in Iowa, because a lonely man was driving drunk out of his mind. Because a lonely man was drunk.
I want to know what's out there beyond the furthest star. I even want to go there if we ever get that far. And I want to see Venice.
Get the problem drinker off the road for his sake and yours. Write to Drunk Driver, Box 1969, Washington, D.C. We'll tell you how you can help.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Henry Kissinger arrived in Moscow Friday to talk to Leonid Brezhnev and immediately disappeared from view. That doesn't mean anything is wrong. It just means the Russians know how to keep things secret. Murray Frompson has a reporter's perspective from Moscow.
The Brezhnev-Kissinger talks continue, and so does the total news blackout on them. The conference site is 85 miles from Moscow. Foreign correspondents are unable to travel there freely. It requires a special permit from the foreign ministry to go beyond a 25-mile radius of the Soviet capital, and that can take 48 hours or more to get. Kissinger and newsmen learned about the location of the talks at the same time, when he landed Friday night, but after the foreign ministry had closed for the weekend. A freer exchange of people and information is one of the issues being debated at the European Security Conference in Helsinki. In a recent editorial, the Christian Science Monitor urged President Nixon to ask Mr. Brezhnev to relax these travel restrictions when they meet at the next summit. As it stands now, foreign correspondents regularly based here cannot simply fly from one Soviet city to another. It requires special permission. We cannot even leave the country when we choose. That, too, requires special permission. The red tape is such that if a news crisis or a family one required us to leave the Soviet Union on a moment's notice, we could not do it. This has led the State Department to occasionally retaliate against Soviet correspondents based in Washington. It adds up to an unnecessary irritation at a time when both countries are talking about fostering more and not less understanding. Murray Frompson, CBS News, Moscow.
That's the World Tonight, Monday, May 7th. Among the top stories, President Nixon denies again that he had any prior knowledge of Watergate, denies also that he's been engaged in any cover-up. Elliot Richardson says he'll appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Watergate. This is Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
The weather forecast, increasing clouds tonight with a low temperature in the mid-40s, showers likely tomorrow and tomorrow night, a high near 70, and a low tomorrow night in the upper 40s. Buffalo temperature, 74 degrees.